Hello!
Welcome to Movie Banter.
Welcome to Movie Banter, special.
Special time.
Yes. sounds like disturbing already. We're barely 8 seconds in, and already I'm a little bit creeped out.
70s sexploitation film. Special time.
No.
This is an idea that actually sort of came up a few weeks ago. We just had a sort of vague idea of which year, I suppose. Was it shaped our childhood in the most ways of film?
Yeah, pretty much.
It was film... spawned the most films that were of, I don't know, ongoing importance, really.
Yeah, but films that always strike us as great years for films.
Yeah.
And then, of course, realise that almost every year is a great year for films.
Exactly, always a good year for films.
But some echo with us more than others.
You originally said 87.
I said 87, yes.
And then I said, actually, I think 84 was a better year, largely, I think, because of the franchises.
Yeah.
But we'll get onto this shortly. But so this week, we're going to be talking about... purely about 1984 as a year of films and some of the fine movies that came out of it. And then we'll do 87 another time and compare then, and contrast.
Yes, and then maybe do other years.
Maybe other
see
years.
How,
so
see
if,
how
if you have any thoughts on these particular years, or any, just name a year, and then we can we'll talk about it another time. So before we begin, I thought we'll do one very quick bit of admin.
Yes.
We've had an email from young Jed from Singapore. Good evening, Jed. Because it's going to be evening in Singapore right now.
Of course. But only at the time of recording this, not necessarily when he listens to it.
Jed, stop this right now if you listen to it.
Yeah, and wait until the evening.
Play it in the evening.
Yeah.
And then that will make much more sense. And you'll go, oh, I see.
Yes, it makes sense.
So, hello, Jed. Thank you for that. And this is finally a response to my call for a serious fart in a film.
Which you've been, frankly, slightly obsessed with.
I have been. I'd like to know if there's an example in a film of a fart being used as a serious dramatic device. As the MacGuffin being... Adding the guff.
No, but the MacGuffin is normally something you chase after rather than something that falls in your lap, as it were.
You wouldn't chase after a fart, really,
well,
would you?
Well, hopefully not.
But Jed says, here's an idea, it just might be serious, but it's definitely not a slapstick moment. That's in Rain Man, Charlie Babbitt, which is Tom Cruise, and his autistic savant brother Raymond, Dustin Hoffman, are in a phone booth where the former is frantically calling his business associate. Raymond says, fart, 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 and Charlie gets very exasperated that his brother has just farted, quickly bolts out of the phone booth. So yes, I think I've found a serious fart in a movie. Well done, Jed. I award you... I'll be sending an envelope full of a fart of my choosing.
Oh dear.
To you in Singapore. Envelopes.
A fart
Jed,
of your choosing Singapore. Implies you've got several banked up.
Well, I'll
and
try
you're gonna,
a few.
You know, take one from March 1996.
I've got them all in bottles.
Oh dear.
Just release one into it, sorry.
I still think that sounds quite funny. Personally.
Well, it's funny-ish. I'd like to... Maybe I should see it first. Maybe we should...
That does sound like the best candidate so far. Don't get me wrong.
Because I did actually think the other week that, although I've started this beast, I was thinking there's probably not a good end to this, because the only time I can think of that would ever be a serious fart in a film would be quite a sad moment of someone pretty seriously ill.
Yes.
And you can't control their bowels.
But then that's hilarious, surely.
There is a moment, and there's a film called The Savages, which is, I think, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Laura Linney. And you can instantly tell by the fact it's got them two in it that it's probably a very well-acted film. Mm. And one of those films that needs well-acting because it's serious and profound. Yes. And it's about them caring for their very ill dad. And I don't think there's... I can't recall a fart moment, but there's certainly lots of... fecal
bodily
moments,
functions,
which again in a non-hilarious way, very much like this is quite a shocking portrayal of the elderly and all, you know, the problems that can come when you sort of start to lose your functions, which often films do shy away from. So I gave it a lot of credit for doing that in a very serious way, and I've kind of gone off the point of hilarity that I was looking for in a serious fart from a film.
Yes.
But I did want a serious moment, and there you go, we've got a serious moment from it. So thank you, Jed, for alerting
me. Yes, thank you very much. But on to 1984.
Indeed. We've picked out some of our favourite films of 84, and we'll have a browse through and see what fine movies it produced. I'm going to start the ball rolling, if I may.
With your favourite film of all time?
Well, no, I won't be, actually.
I'm going
to build up to that one.
Fair enough.
I'm going to start the ball rolling, if I may, with, given that I'm producing this year as an example of franchises.
Yes.
One of the ultimate of franchises... you don't know which one I'm going to go for, do you?
Well, I can hazard a guess. Although there are two of those examples, both have a lot of films in them.
Police Academy.
There we go.
There you go. Police Academy.
Which thus far is up to seven films.
It's Jimbo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Jimbo. No. But it's
seven films and an animated TV series.
Doing another one soon as well.
I know. Well, that's been in the offing for a while. Apparently, I think they may now have a script.
Really?
I'm still not sure if it's a complete reboot or a sequel. Although given that one of the original cast is now sadly dead.
That's true.
And the rest are all... That was... I can't remember his name now. Eugene Tackleberry.
Tackleberry, yes. That's right.
So I'm not sure whether they're going to... It may be a bit of both. Mm. In part, you get the old cast back training up new people.
Yeah.
And then maybe carry it on with the new people.
True. I think reboots are in vogue at the minute. They'll do it as a reboot, I think. They'll get a new young cast in.
Probably. It could work. But then is it really Police Academy without Gutenberg?
Well, it's got to be. Yeah. You've got to have your Gutenberg.
Mind you, he wasn't in the last three films. Yeah. He was up until four.
It's very much a pre-Gutenberg, post-Gutenberg sort of era you can pick with that. But, you know, this was a film that I think, certainly if not that film, but the film franchise, in part, I'd say, certainly had a big place in my... childhood filmic upbringing.
No, very true.
Not that I ever look back too fondly on them, but they all had their place.
But you kind of think, because they're the kind of films that are often shown as afternoon viewing.
Mm.
I think because they're easily editable down. But the first one, anyway, has maybe not nudity, but it's got certain sexual references in it, which wouldn't belong in a family film, and they could be cut out. So I think it's easily transferable. It's not like a violent action film where you can't cut out all the violent action or you've had no film.
Yes.
I think you can cut out a bit of filth and still leave it with a PG version that everyone can like.
It really paved the way, I think, for your American Pies and the like, really.
It's a group of people misbehaving, into hilarious situations.
And one of those things where, yes, there'll be a pratfall there at 1 minute and there'll be someone forced to eat some poo in the next minute, or there'll be someone...
I think it's in maybe the first film or in one of the earlier films where one of the evil sergeant or evil whatever rank he is does literally end up with his head up a horse's backside.
Nice.
Which is charming.
It's a true story.
Yeah.
But that sort of idea of a film where you do that, but if you don't find that bit amusing, then don't worry, because there'll be another character along in a minute doing another hilarious thing, and you might find that amusing. Yes. And then if you get to the end of it and think, I didn't find any of it amusing, then just don't watch the 8 sequels.
Yes.
that's the rule there. So I start the ball rolling the Police Academy, and I lay that on the table. See if you can see that and match it with anything else.
Yes, now I'm less about the franchises, but 1984, still many good examples.
Yes.
Franchise-esque, I'm going to go with Terminator.
Ah, yes. That's a franchise.
It didn't start out as a franchise, but sort of became...
But then what did?
Well, very true. No, but some things set out, they want to make them a franchise.
I suppose, yeah.
Although I think probably in 1984, maybe people were slightly less, not so much money-grabbing, but the franchise didn't quite exist. I don't know what the first big franchise really was.
Well, that's why I'm arguing for this as a year, because I think this actually spawned franchises in many ways.
Yeah.
Suddenly after this, people were making lots of the same films again.
Which no, very true. Not
necessarily a good thing, of course.
Although also, I mean, Terminator, there was eight years, I think, between Terminator and Terminator 2, whereas Police Academy films were churned way out.
They were.
Actually, I think one film that we're not going to mention, although I'm now going to mention it, was Friday the 13th, The Final Chapter, which I think is the third or fourth.
Oh, really?
And I thought, wow.
Was that from 84?
Yeah.
Really?
And I thought, Friday the 13th could only have been quite soon. And that was pretty much one a year, I think. Friday the 13th was 1980. It's like the Saw films now. They make one a year.
Every year, yeah.
Anyway, I digress. Terminator is actually rather... Coincidentally, my flatmate watched it last night.
Oh, okay.
Just he was of an 80s mood. He also, in fact, watched Beverly Hills Cop, which I will come to.
Which is also 84.
And I was reminded that Terminator is good. It's a good film. It's quite low budget at the time. Made Arnie's career on many levels.
Yeah.
But Terminator 2 then came along and covered almost exactly the same ground, but a lot better.
Mm.
It's a bit like Evil Dead 2 and Evil Dead.
Do you find that you still need Terminator, the first film, or does Terminator 2 do the job now?
Terminator 2 pretty much does the job for me. I mean, Terminator, it's a bit darker and grittier. It's not as much, child-friendly bonding. Terminator 2 just does more for me. But Terminator still... I mean, yes, Terminator begins an important stage in sci-fi film.
You still need it, certainly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also, it marked the point... I think it marked the beginning of the point where Bill Paxton became one of the only people to be killed by a Terminator, an alien, and a Predator.
Is that right?
Yes, this was the start. Oh, yeah, this was his first death. He was quite early on in his career. It may even have been his first film role. When the Terminator first arrives, huge naked man gets picked on by a gang of street thugs who he dispatches in short order. Yeah. And one of them is Bill Paxton.
Is that right?
And then later on, he got killed by an alien in Aliens.
Yeah.
And got killed by a Predator in Predator 2.
But he wasn't famous enough to be... That's not a cameo, is it?
Yeah.
He's a jobbing actor.
Yeah, he just started off.
Just happened to be a good victim.
Yeah. Although then Lance Henriksen joined him in that because I think he got killed in this. Yeah,
in other ones.
I'll cover this in later issues. So yeah, Terminator, I think, is a good example. 1984 film. Also has a classic 80s club scene.
Oh yeah.
Lots of neon.
Well, similar to Police Academy, which is the, was it the Pink Flamingo, is it?
Blue Oyster.
Yeah, it was
the most stereotypical gay bar you'll ever see in film.
I think I did grow up thinking that all adult bars were like...
Yeah, but in the Police Academy films, they're all gay bars, leather-wearing bikers.
I was too young to realise that.
Oh, I see, fair.
But certainly that sort of, particularly the singles bars... feel you get to films. That was what I thought bars were like.
No, true.
And then now I'm old enough to go to them, I just go, oh no, they're not really.
Yes.
Or maybe they were, and I missed that window.
Well, of a similar era, like Cheers as well.
Yeah.
Always thought, you know, as you're growing very up, true, you're thinking, all bars are like Cheers. Then you realise, no bar that is as empty as Cheers always is would ever stay open.
Yeah, doesn't work.
More's a pity.
Which is why it's closed now, of course. But,
well, yeah.
You see, the other big, you mentioned Friday the 13th there, and that was obviously, as you say, had an entry in the franchise canon for this year. Also, Nightmare on Elm Street started this year. That was, you know, 84 kick-started that, and again that's one that is, I think, probably outpaced Friday the 13th in a way, really. I think Freddy Krueger's probably more of
It's a constant battle, really, between the two.
I suppose so.
Actually, Empire this month, or within the past couple of months, had a very good face-off between the two of them. And apparently, I think it was from this, they said that Nightmare on Elm Street was started by one of the more honest pitches ever put forward to a film studio, which is pretty much Friday the 13th is doing quite well, why don't we rip it off?
Really?
Which is, it was pretty much that.
Yeah.
No, it's not that. It was Friday the 13th to Halloween was the leap.
So Nightmare on Elm Street gets off.
Although I'm pretty sure that Nightmare on Elm Street did much the same thing
Friday the 13th. Even though they weren't quite as honest in their pitch, they still did it.
Yes.
Although, actually, I've only ever seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street, and I did enjoy it to a degree, although it's not my sort of film. It still did feel very much of that 80s... I don't want to say video nasty, but it did feel tinged with that.
Yes.
Quite dramatic and interesting and original moments of, you know, the kids being sucked into the bed.
Yes,
the idea that you fall asleep and he gets you.
Not just any kid, Johnny Depp.
Absolutely.
That was his first film role, I think.
Yeah.
Who apparently just went along with his friend to audition.
Really?
I think his friend was auditioning and he drove him.
Ah.
And then he got the part.
Really?
And probably no longer friends with that person.
Exactly.
Yes. I could be wrong. Well, yeah, I think it's also a more interesting premise than Friday the 13th. Because, of course, the first Friday the 13th film was just Jason's mother, not Jason,
of course,
who was killing people.
Yeah.
And then he came along later. Whereas Nightmare on Elm Street is slightly more supernatural. I think you can do more with it as well, because it's supernatural in your dreams.
And also, it's more easy as a kid to be scared by it, in a way. In that,
yes.
Friday the 13th, you come away being scared by Jason's mum or Jason, or
well, you get scared of large men with a machete.
True, but should be scary anyway.
Well, no, exactly. That's the thing. Whereas, not something you're going to come in contact with.
Nightmare on Elm Street is you suddenly become scared of falling asleep.
Yes,
which you do every day. That's frightening. You know,
really, I tend to do it at night. But whatever works for you.
I work nights.
Each to their own. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street is also coming up for a remake.
Oh, is that right?
They all are.
With Robert Englund saying he'll have nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
Apparently.
I'm not sure, because I know some people have said it wouldn't be Freddy without him.
Yeah.
And then I think he's saying he's kind of done with it.
I think so.
I think
he said, from what I gather, he's behind it, but he sort of says, yeah, but just don't do, you know, what we used to do.
Well, yes.
Change it completely and I'll be behind it, which is an odd way of getting behind it in a way. It's saying change it completely.
Well, yeah,
and I may watch it.
Well, the thing is, throw some decent effects at it, and it could be interesting.
Maybe.
But not overdo it.
Yeah,
but it could work as a premise. Freddy versus Jason, I kind of liked as a film. It was a good face-off to finally see. And I know one film that's been rumoured for ages and is now coming out as a comic book series, and I don't think the film is either likely or will ever happen. I think maybe because everyone involved has said no. Is Freddy versus Jason versus Ash? From
right,
Evil Dead films.
Yes, nice.
And there is apparently just released a comic about that.
Really?
Which sketches out the battle. And I would have loved to have seen that film.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Bruce Campbell has said, no, enough's enough.
Well,
he's now too old to pull it off.
I did hear an interview with him the other day, and he was talking about upcoming projects, and that didn't come up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
No, I think he said he's pretty much had his fill of it, and yeah, great. You know, it's great that it's done, but he's moved on.
What about Freddy versus Jason versus Alien versus Predator? Who would win?
Probably the Predator.
Do you think?
Well, I'm fairly sure because it's going to be the Predator or the Alien. Although Freddy is fictional,
so
you can pretty much do a lot to him.
Freddy can sort of just...
As opposed to the other highly realistic characters, obviously.
Yeah. But Freddy could appear in the Predator's dreams and get them that way.
Do Predators sleep?
Wait till the aliens fall asleep or whatever. I don't know, do they fall asleep?
Do Predators dream of electric? No, that's...
Exactly, yeah. Whole different. It's a Gary Newman song.
Yeah. There is also a Batman versus Predator
Really,
a comic, which is actually it's quite entertaining. And of course, the Predator ends up accepting him as a worthy foe, and so they don't kill him.
Nice.
Because that's how Predators roll.
What about Freddy versus Jason versus Alien versus Predator versus Kramer versus
I was
Kramer.
About to score Kramer versus Kramer versus Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
I'd like to think
that Kramer and Kramer couldn't really hold their own.
I think they'd probably go before the crook.
I'm fairly sure actually Family Guy did that.
They did. I think they did.
They did.
Actually.
They did something like Predator versus Kramer versus Kramer.
I thought
and Dustin Hoffman just got his head blown off.
I think so. Yeah. They vanished pretty quickly. Yeah. I think it'd be a reason to watch having all six of them against each other for the fact that Meryl Streep and Dustin Hoffman would go in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah, pretty much. Not that I'm a big wrestling fan, but it'd be sort of the Royal Rumble where you get some comedy character put in early who just gets thrown over the top rope within seconds.
Yes.
So that's Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
Yes, which we somehow got diverted into Aliens and Predators.
Well, quite
neither of which came along for... Actually, no, when was... Alien was 1979?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Aliens were around by this time. But we digress. On related in no particular way, call it some sort of vaguely supernatural sci-fi thing, I'm going to go with Supergirl.
Yay!
Not because it's a particularly... Not I say particularly, it's not a good film on any imaginable level. Well, it's a good film on two levels. What? No, I don't even mean it in
filthy?
Those terms. No, I'm not, no. Two separate levels.
You're being filthy.
I'm not being filthy, no. Two separate reasons. One is the Supergirl costume.
You are being filthy.
No, that's not that filthy. But I love the Supergirl costume. It's just brilliant. It's brilliantly wrong.
Filth.
Yes. It's not filth. I'm being family-friendly filth.
Okay.
Anyway. But it's just brilliant, because it's, you know, a highly powered woman who could kick your posterior.
Indeed.
But look amazing doing it. Anyway. I just like the costume.
Do they look at Christopher Reeve and Superman in his outfit and think, we could get a girl in that? And go, yeah, okay, there's your film.
And then they probably put a girl in that costume and thought, oh no, that's not quite right. Yeah. We should maybe change it. Yes. Add a skirt.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
It's slightly weird that the man ends up in pants, whereas the woman gets a skirt.
I know.
Which is really bizarre. Why doesn't the man get at least shorts?
You'd have thought so.
Well,
that's Incredible Hulk then suddenly.
No, that's true.
You cross the stream.
So one is the costume. I just love the costume. It works. And the other reason is the fact that it's rubbish. Which, but that's why.
It's an odd reason to love
the
film.
No, but it's amusingly rubbish. Yeah, it's just intentionally, ridiculously camp. Is it? It's Peter O'Toole and someone.
In it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just the most bizarrely weird rubbish film ever. Especially following Superman, where you thought Superman is a superhero film done right in the 70s. Yeah. Great effect. And then they take Supergirl and think, oh dear, what have you done? And yet, it's quite lovable as a result. Because it was on TV last year sometime and watched it. And it's just, it's appallingly watchable.
It is. It's, but because it's so laughably bad, it's so not in the same league as a Superman film that it's...
I think that's why. It's not like a Batman and Robin to Tim Burton's Batman.
Exactly.
It's far more like, I don't even want to say Adam West's Batman to Batman. But it's that sort of, it's such a complete different tone of film.
Yes, yeah.
That you can enjoy it on a different
Helen
level.
Slater?
It is.
That's right.
Who didn't do an enormous amount else. She was actually in Smallville.
Really?
She was playing Clark Kent's mother.
Oh, nice.
And as was Christopher Reeve, of course. Not playing his dad, but playing another character.
Yes.
She has done other films. Yes. Wasn't she? She was in some kidnapping film with Judge Reinhold, I think.
Maybe.
I can't remember what it was now. She's done
that
other
sounds
films.
Like it's not recently. If it's got Supergirl and Judge Reinhold in it, that sounds to me like it's not exactly a 2009 film.
No. I'm sure she's still doing things. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, she did other stuff beyond Supergirl. It wasn't a career ender.
Just not Supergirl 2.
No. Although, see, again, I'm surprised.
Ready for a reboot? Is that what you're gonna say?
Seriously, I mean, given that Superman Returns didn't... I think it did all right at the box office, but was met with mixed reviews. I think Supergirl could be an interesting franchise crossover reboot thing.
Yeah, maybe.
Because, you could just do it properly. There's less stuff attached to it. Because Superman, a new Superman film was following on from two good Superman films and two awful ones. With Supergirl, you could do what you want with it. But anyway, so that's my
a fair choice.
That's my bid, largely for the costume.
A fair choice for the costume and the fact it's rubbish.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's two very fine reasons to love a film. I at this stage now I'm going to mention very very briefly here, far too briefly, my favourite film of all time. But I won't do it justice now. Quickly,
because it's a 4-hour film.
It's a 4-hour film. So I think I'll just save that for a whole other episode, another time, and bore you with it then. But no, Once Upon a Time in America. Is my favourite film of all time. It's a 4-hour gangster epic, made in 1984. Robert De Niro, James Woods, Joe Pesci, others. It's a Sergio Leone film, and it's, you know, he did all the spaghetti westerns, and he did Once Upon a Time in the West, and this is his American, sort of, is his answer to Godfather, really. It was written by about 10 different screenwriters, because no one could quite get it right. It's based on a book called The Hoods by Harry Gray. You can tell I know a lot about it.
Yes.
I've read the book, I've read all these different essays about the film. And if you haven't seen it, as I'm presuming you haven't, I would recommend it, but only with reservations, in that it's not for everyone. I'm well aware that some people, I've shown this to some people and they have hated it,
right,
or seen the things to appreciate about it, but it's not for them.
See, because, I still have never seen it.
Have you not?
No,
really? Well, once we've done Schindler's List, we'll do Once Upon a Time in
America.
Okay,
we'll have a double bill.
Yeah, it'll be a long night. But but it's a movie that I feel stands up to many repeated viewings, because I actually saw it about 10 times before I actually quite suddenly got a whole other layer of it. There's a because it's one of these, sort of before it was popular, that jumps around in chronology quite a lot. It's partly set in, it's really about four friends in New York who are part of a child gang, and then so you see them in the 20s growing up, and there's some lovely, the first third of the film is mostly set then, and really wonderfully brought to life scenes of them in this sort of New York slums, and doing little jobs here and there, some stealing some money here and some double crossing of other gangsters there. And then you see them in the 30s, and when they're sort of in their 20s, and they're sort of grown up, and one of them's been to prison. It's Prohibition era. They're sort of learning to live in this adult world, but while also starting off as actual adult gangsters. And that's where they pick up in the sort of more, that's the crossover with the Godfather sort of territory. It's them in that sort of stage of life. And then you also intercut between all of this, you see them, or whoever's left of them, in the 60s, when they're old men, really, and looking back on their life. And, you know, the themes you have there is redemption and memory and love, loss, all the classic movie epic subject matters. And but there's so much to it, because it's about 3.5 hours in total, I think. But because of that time length, and actually even then they had to cut out another about hour and a half's worth of stuff.
Whoa.
I think at the time they were looking even of releasing it as two films, as like a sort of Kill Bill.
I'm amazed they haven't done a DVD special since, with everything thrown back in.
I don't know if they got the footage actually anymore.
Right.
I don't know. I'd like to think they have, and one day we'd see it. But it actually, at the time, it failed, and it's one of those films that you probably haven't heard of even, because it was roundly ignored in sort of Oscar season, largely because I think it was Universal Studios were behind the film. And if not, then apologies, Universal, who I'm sure are all listening. But whoever it was, the studio just looked at this 4-hour cut and went, no. It'll be about 2.25 hours, thank you.
Yeah.
So they hired their own editor in.
Oh, I see.
Cut it awfully. It made no sense. And it was released in the cinemas like that. And people went, well, that's just a mess on a screen. It makes no sense. And sure enough, it didn't. And even, as I say, part of the 4-hour film, some of it doesn't make a lot of sense, even though you watch it and go, oh, I get it now. But it does, you know, it could have done with the extra hour and a half in that sense, really. So it was ruined at the time. The film score, which I think is one of my favourite film scores of all time, by Ennio Morricone, was ignored at the Oscars because they forgot to put the form in on time.
No.
And it's a lovely, I think it's maybe his best score. It's really, really nice. And so for all those many reasons, it was roundly ignored at the time. But it's well worth seeking out on DVD, the film, the version that's never been shown in the cinema. And that that was longer than I planned to talk about it for anyway.
Well, that's all right, but that's what passion
does
to you.
That's why I really like that film, and would recommend it to anybody who, if you like The Godfather, see this.
Yes.
If you haven't seen The Godfather, see that first, and if you like that, give it a go.
Okay. I'm going to take a vague crime theme.
Oh, yes.
Not meaning to cut you short, but yes. I know time is short.
Cut away. This,
down to, continue the crime theme, onto Beverly Hills Cop. Which
I know that link makes you feel dirty.
I know
somehow.
it really does. Beverly Hills Cop is a great film,
it
but
is,
it doesn't
it's
warrant that
film.
Segue.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, which again, beginnings of a franchise. Although let's ignore the third, because that's just not very good. But yeah, it was a very good balance of comedy and action and crime things and good characterization.
Axel F.
Exactly. Bam, bam, of course. Bam, 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 bam. And Eddie Murphy back when he was funny.
Would be the most highly paid film actor in the world ever at the time.
Wouldn't surprise me.
I think so.
I remember because I think 48 Hours was before Beverly Hills Cop, and he was something like 21 when he made
really?
That. It was in terms of successful young actors, it was sickening.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, we're as if we were never really Hollywood material, particularly.
Totally. I'm waiting for the call.
Well, yeah, but no, but you're writing rather than acting. You could write at any age.
Still, I'm bitter.
Fair enough.
Beverly Hills Cop could have been me.
Whereas I just pick out mistakes in it. Yeah, and then, of course, led on to Beverly Hills Cop 2, which I would argue pretty much equally as good,
yeah,
more or less. And then Beverly Hills Cop 3, which let's just ignore it.
Okay.
Although there is a fourth one in the works.
Oh, really?
And
with him?
Yes. Yeah. But it's a weird one. It seems to be that it's going to be more sort of generic police film rather than comedy police film.
Right.
It may even be that they've got a script for, you know, an average action film and they're going to work Axel Foley into it.
Mm.
Which
see.
Is what
yeah,
happened
yeah.
with Die Hard with Vengeance.
Oh, is that right?
Which,
that
yeah,
wasn't a Die Hard
that
film?
It was a film called Simon Says, which is the idea of, you know, terrorist going after a policeman,
yes,
or making
yeah,
people do
yeah.
things. Look, hang on, we can turn this into a Bruce Willis
yeah,
film.
Yeah, okay.
And so they did. So, yeah, it can work out. And, like, Die Hard is going to be Commando 2.
Really?
Yeah, that was meant to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, it was probably reworked heavily since then, but that was the original idea.
I bet there's some original writers behind these ideas who are there in tears daily.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking, my original idea has been ruined because they thought, well, John McClane's available.
What was that? Yeah. So you can get good films from these weird botched jobs. But I don't have high hopes for Beverly Hills Cop 4.
No.
I feel they're very much of their 80s time. But we shall see. And yeah, I still hold the first two, anyway, have a lot of affection for me. Largely, well, like my 87 theory, in terms of films that were on TV a lot when we were growing up or watched on videos with your friends and is that sort of era. So you have affection for them, whether or not it's deserved. But, you know, they're like old friends that you can't get rid of. Not looking at you specifically.
No, thanks. Old friends you can't get rid of. What are you saying? You shouldn't have started a podcast then.
Well, yes. It's your idea. Well, anyway. But yeah, so Beverly Hills Cop 2. Beverly Hills Cop, I think, is a good 84 example.
Yes, yeah. Other films we have neither the time nor will nor inclination to waffle about too much. But still, I think, for example,
84 was a busy year.
It was a busy year, 84. Spinal Tap.
Of course.
Brackets, this is.
Yes, which we did mention a couple of weeks ago. Due to Anvil. Yes,
that's right, yes, exactly, due to Anvil.
Yeah, Spinal is probably the first mockumentary,
yeah,
and probably still the definitive one.
But I think it goes to show what a good year 84 was for films,
yes,
in that we're only giving a passing mention to one of the funniest films of all time. So well worth it. This is Spinal Tap.
Yes. And of course, Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, absolutely.
Which we haven't really focused on because it sort of comes up on occasion.
Well, whenever Jenny's here, in fact,
exactly.
You can play a little game with yourself. If you listen to this podcast regularly and you hear Jennifer's here, have a listen to see if she goes without mentioning Ghostbusters through the entire episode. And I very much doubt that will ever happen.
True, but she does love it. But we all love it.
It's a fine movie.
Yeah.
Fine movie.
And Ghostbusters 2, I'd still think is good. It's not as good as the first one, but it's still pretty good. And there's the Ghostbusters game coming out.
Oh, yes.
This year, I think, which is pretty much Ghostbusters 3.
Yes,
I think.
Yeah.
And there are rumours abounding of a new Ghostbusters film as well,
yes,
which may have the originals in or not.
A reboot once again?
No, I think it's going to be more a continuation, as in a proper sequel.
They love these reboots, don't they?
Well, yeah.
They're going to do a new German submarine film called Das Reboot. You know that?
Oh, dear.
I'll go, shall
yeah,
I?
Yeah, probably best.
Okay.
Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom,
yeah,
of course, which isn't
yeah,
the franchise
not,
beginning.
Not the best one of the trilogy, but
no,
still
it was the weakest of the Indiana Jones films until Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I was going to say, it was the worst.
It's the weakest of the proper trilogy.
I look back fondly now on that film.
Oh, well, yes. But it's still classic moments in it. That, I mean, like the grabbing the hatch from under the
exactly
thing.
Was that not in the first one?
No, that was in the second one.
Right,
as far as I can remember. Yeah, because it was when they're escaping from the insects.
It also starts with Anything Goes. That's quite good.
Of course.
And Short Round is quite good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for, you know, in terms of franchises, you've got that. You've got Gremlins, of course, started that year as well. Karate Kid.
Yeah.
Children of the Corn, if you really want to get into it. Which actually I saw not too long ago for the first... I thought, you know, one of those films I thought ought to watch it.
Yes.
And actually quite enjoyed it. But not enough to watch 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8. But
lots of blonde people growing up.
Exactly. Worth a look. And then some other sort of... Oh, Cannibal Run 2 as well.
Well, yes. You see, I had that on my... Because Cannibal Run I like. It's more of the idea of that sort of film.
Yes, yeah.
Which they haven't really done since. Although I think we cover this in the remakes as well. Saying, but classic car chase cross-country films.
Yes.
We need another one of them.
Oh,
a proper one.
You can't go.
And Rat Race, it was close. It was still good.
You know,
I'd like it, but it's not quite the same.
Health and safety nowadays.
It is.
They don't encourage speeding. Or bad driving.
You say that, but then you get Fast and the Furious and similar.
It was that short-lived TV series Drive that,
that was
nearly lasted five episodes, but
that
quite.
That could have been really good.
I quite enjoyed it.
Make that into a film.
Yeah.
You could do that into a film easily enough. cut out lots of stuff.
There is a film called Drive, but it's not the same thing.
No, I've got that. It's a martial arts film, which is quite good, with Brittany Murphy in it.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Not as the lead heroine.
No,
she's more the love interest.
Yes.
Anyway.
But, you know, so I think 84, they're soundly proven as a fine year for movies. In terms of non-franchise ones, you're, of course, 1984. That was made in 1984.
Well, yes. Probably because someone figured you pretty much had to.
This was your chance, really, wasn't it? Dune. Actually, I saw Dune the other day.
I still have never seen it.
I saw the first 10 minutes.
Right.
Couldn't watch it.
Isn't that an Alan Smithy film?
I think it is.
I think that's one that got butchered by the studios and by editors people.
Sort of, I was vaguely enjoying it, actually. I thought I could have watched this, really. But then so much of it reminded me of Star Wars. It looked really, they'd almost copied scene by scene. They even had holograms of someone saying,
"But wasn't the book written before Star Wars?"
Well, it was, yeah. But
I don't know how true the film is to the book, even. So.
But it almost looked, you know, maybe Star Wars was George Lucas read Dune and thought, "Oh my God, my film looks a bit like that." But you know, I was there watching it, thinking, "I'll just watch Star Wars." I just stopped watching it in the end. So
I'm fairly sure it's worrying how many of these are being followed up by belated sequels or remakes.
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure Dune is being remade. I think that people love the world, but I think the film isn't viewed as that much of a classic.
No.
So maybe a remake could work.
I think the book's meant to be very good, actually.
Yeah, no, I think the book is meant to be amazing, which is why the film is kind of hated by some. But maybe loved by
others. I've got the book is on my Amazon basket for a penny.
Right.
Because I thought, well, one day. I still haven't bought it. It's just on the basket. I thought, I can't justify that penny just yet, but one day I'll buy Dune. And Top Secret was the last one to mention as well, which is always a winner,
which
hopefully will never be remade or rebooted because you can't.
Yeah, you can't really remake.
It's one of a kind.
Yes. But again, we're due another Abraham Zucker.
Yeah, that's true. But now they're branching off. They're doing, one of them did the Christmas, the American Carol.
Oh, yes.
And I think one of them did one of the scary movie things or movies, whatever it was. So
hopefully the scary movies rather than the epic movies, because at least the scary movies sort of have an idea. And again, I think the third one is all right. Well, the first and third are all right. I can't remember the second's awful.
Don't see the second.
And the fourth one I think is a bit weak. But at least they go more back to that spoof collection of jokes thing rather than just.
Just mentioning
wandering around and go, "Hey, look, I look a little like Jack Sparrow."
Exactly. Yes.
That's not really a joke.
You have a wig.
But yeah, so that's 1984.
84 there. So that's my argument in favour of that. And thank you for helping with that argument as well.
That's quite
supporting it where possible. We'll look at 87 in a future episode.
Yes.
And
I will argue many things.
I feel a need to bung in a Desert Island Flicks as ever. Pick a favourite of this list.
Favourite 84 film?
Yeah.
I would probably have to go with Ghostbusters, actually.
Ghostbusters,
I mean, Top Secret is close in there, as is Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
It's stiff competition. But Ghostbusters, I think, has to take it.
Obviously, I have to go for Once Upon a Time in America.
You can't say it's my favourite film of all time, except 1984.
Once Upon a Time in America, my absolute Desert Island Flick of all time, let alone of 84. Maybe that's why I love the year so much, because it spawned that movie. I don't know. But anyway, thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining.
If you want to, any feedback is more than welcome at podcast@moviemistakes.com.
And yes, and rate us on iTunes.
Please do.
Tell your friends. And we shall see you next week.
Will do. Goodbye.
Goodbye.